Good morning. So nice to see everyone here. We've been exploring over the past few weeks the magic, the mystery, the majesty of Shabbat and what creates that, the mitzvot of kavod and oneg. Sure, no problem. Okay. Good morning. Nice to see everyone. We've been exploring together over the past few weeks the magic, the majesty, the beauty of Shabbat and what creates that sense of magic, majesty, and beauty. We've explored the mitzvot of kavod and oneg, honoring the Sabbath, delighting in the Sabbath, the mitzvot we observe on the Sabbath that make it so special, the mitzvah of lighting candles, of kiddush. I'd like to explore together with you this particular Shabbat. This coming Shabbat, which technically is Tisha B'Av. It's Tisha B'Av Shechal B'Shabbat. And we'll see there are a number of unique halachot. We'll just be scratching the surface. There are many unique halachot when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbat. Halacha l'maaseh, things we have to know. But I'd like to, together with you this morning, look at some of the themes, explore together with you some of the questions, and how it relates to what we've been looking at over the past few weeks. As we saw, there's a mitzvah to delight on Shabbat, to enjoy things on Shabbat, to express Shabbat or experience Shabbat in a very physical way, with three meals, with fine wine and meat, and having special delicacies, and shopping, and preparing, and doing all of these things to enjoy Shabbat. And there's a mitzvah to enjoy Shabbat, v'karata la Shabbat, oneg l'kdosh Hashem mechubad, you shall proclaim the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day to God shall be dignified, shall be honored. So there's a mitzvah to enjoy and delight in the Sabbath, and yet we can't escape the fact that technically this coming Shabbat is the ninth of Av, is the saddest day on the Jewish calendar. The day in which we mourn all of our national tragedies and calamities throughout Jewish history. The destruction of the first and second holy temples and so many other devastating events that took place throughout Jewish history. And I've spoken here in the past about the fact that even if technically it didn't actually occur on the ninth of Av, the ninth of Av is a day in which we mourn all Jewish tragedies or all tragedies or calamities throughout Jewish history. So the question this morning is, what is this coming Shabbat? Is it Shabbat to be celebrated, to be observed through eating and drinking? Or is it still a day of mourning? Now we know for technical reasons, we're not allowed to fast on Shabbat. We're not allowed to mourn at least publicly on Shabbat. So Tisha B'Av is pushed off to Sunday. But the question that we'll explore together this morning is there a little hint, is there still a little element of the mourning of Tisha B'Av that kind of peeks through, that peers through the lattices this Shabbat? And the truth is, you know, this conflict or this tension is something that, and maybe we'll come back to this, is something that's found on Shabbat Chazon in a regular year when Shabbat does not fall out on Tisha B'Av. The Shabbat that precedes Tisha B'Av falls out during the 9 days of mourning. And so, for instance, the poskim discuss, is it appropriate to bathe with warm water? How can one bathe? How about immersing in a mikvah? How about wearing Shabbat clothes? In some communities, on Shabbat Chazon, the custom was not to wear Shabbat clothes, or to wear only part of one's Shabbat outfit, not the full Shabbat garment. As we know, during the 9 days, we don't wear newly laundered clothes, we don't wear new clothes, okay, we don't do laundry, etc. So even on a regular Shabbat Chazon, if you will, you find this conflict or this tension. But it's amplified in a year like this where Shabbat itself is technically the ninth of Av. And for technical reasons, we push off the fast to Sunday. But we can't escape the fact that this Shabbat is the ninth of Av. It's the saddest day on the Jewish calendar. Let's take a look at source number one. This is a braita. Masechet Ta'anit and Daf Chav Tet. The Braita says, "Ditanya, Tisha B'Av shachal yod b'Shabbat." When Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbat, as it does this year, V'chen erev Tisha B'Av shechal liot b'Shabbat. Or if erev Tisha B'Av, if the eighth of Av, let's say, is on Shabbat, and so the fast falls out on Sunday. It's not pushed off, it's not a nidche, but it just happens to begin Saturday night. The Braita says, Ochel v'shotek kol tzorko. A person can eat and drink kol tzorko, anything he wants, right? All he needs. Umale al shulchano afilu kisudat shlomo b'shato. And he could put out a spread on his table, a feast fit for a king, like Melech Shlomo during his reign. That's what the Gemara says. Okay? So it sounds from this passage in the Gemara that what? That on Shabbat, even when it's technically Tisha B'Av, what? You eat and drink. And the Gemara uses this hyperbolic language. Dibru chachamim b'lashon huzmar. Sages speak in exaggerations, in hyperbole. You can eat and drink like King Solomon, a feast fit for a king. It sounds like it's a day of celebration, right? That's what it sounds like. By the way, just as an aside, Rav Moshe Feinstein rules that even if a person is not accustomed, for example, to eat meat and drink wine at Suda Shlishit, right? You know, in many places, you're lucky if you get some tuna fish and crackers at Suda Shlishit, right? A piece of matzah maybe, especially when you don't find it here in many places, but in Chutz La'aretz, many shuls have Suda Shlishit between Mincha and Arvit. People don't go home to have Suda Shlishit. I mean, you have some matzah maybe, some tuna fish, maybe some jarred gefilte fish. So, thank you. So Rav Moshe writes, even if a person doesn't have meat or wine, usually, but this Shabbat, it's permissible, and you can sing Zmirot, although, again, that too, you know, is subject to dispute. But in any case, the Gemara says, eat, drink, just like Shlomo v'Sha'ato. And there's a parallel passage in the Tosefta. The Tosefta is the collection of Braitot here in source number 2, in the third chapter of the Tosefta in Masechet Ta'anit. And there, the Tosefta ends, the Braita ends by saying, Ve'ein monea me'atzmo klum. You can eat and drink like King Solomon. Ve'ein monea me'atzmo klum. Right? He doesn't have to hold back or refrain from anything. And that's going to become important. And we're going to come back to that point. Because maybe that includes not just eating and drinking, but maybe that includes other things as well. You don't have to refrain from anything on this particular Shabbat, even though technically it falls out on the 9th of Av, the saddest day on the Jewish calendar, but since it is Shabbat, we push it off to the next day, and so there's no reason to withhold from oneself anything. Is that just food, or does that include other things as well? And maybe, just maybe, this speaks to this underlying question, what should our attitude be on this Shabbat, which, you know, seems to be a Shabbat in flux or in tension. There appears to be this conflict. Okay? Now the Rambam uses similar language, right? And he writes at the end, the last three words of the Rambam, where I've underlined, source number 3. Eino mechsar klum. Right? Again, he shouldn't withhold, or he doesn't have to lack anything, can eat and drink to his heart's desire. Similar lashon to the Tosefta. That's the Rambam, and that's the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, Paskins, rules, halacha lema'aseh, in Siman Tov Kuf Nun Bet, here in source number 5, that a person can eat and drink. Now, what's significant, the Shulchan Aruch mentions, and the way he formulates it as such, is, in general, on Tisha B'Av, our Suda Mafseket, even though it precedes the fast, takes on the tone, already, of Tisha B'Av. Right? It's eaten while sitting on the floor, some bread dipped in ashes, some water, a hard-boiled egg, which is the food of a mourner, of an avel. And it's this mournful meal. We do not eat together. We don't make a zimun. We don't have an invitation to say birkat hamazon together. It's eaten in silence, in isolation. So already, on a regular year, the Suda Mafseket takes on a certain tone. It's based on Gemara at the end of Masechet Ta'anit. But when it comes to Tisha B'Av shechal b'Shabbat, we don't have that Suda Mafseket. We don't have that bread dipped in ash and hard-boiled egg. It's a very different type of meal. It's a regular Suda Shlishit, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes here in source number 5. He can eat meat and drink wine b'Suda Mafseket at this meal. U'male al Shulchan Aruch afilu k'Sudat Shlomo be'et Malchuto. Right? So the Gemara in source number 1 and the Tosefta is talking about, you know, the way one eats in general on this Shabbat. Eating meat, drinking wine, having a feast fit for a king. But the Shulchan Aruch formulates it as if it's talking about Suda Shlishit, that last meal. Right? In other words, we're already approaching the fast. Shabbat is waning. And normally the Suda Mafseket has already taken on the tone of Tisha B'Av, except that since it's Shabbat, the Shulchan Aruch says, eat meat, drink wine, eat to your heart's content like King Solomon during his reign. Now the Ramah adds, Mihu, nevertheless, tzarich lafsik mibod yom. You have to stop, right, already before the Shkia. Can't continue eating and drinking until Tzeta Kochavim. You have to stop by or before sunset. Okay? And then there's a question, you know, what do you do? You shouldn't take off your leather shoes because we're not publicly mourning yet. We're not preparing from Shabbat to Chol. It's prohibited, lachin mikodesh lachol, to prepare from Shabbat to Motzei Shabbat. So there's a whole question, you know, what is done during those few minutes between when you are no longer eating and drinking after Suda Shlishit and when you're still, you know, you're still not taking on the public signs of mourning just yet and still not taking off your shoes and, you know, you're waiting till after Shabbat. Okay? Yes. Okay, that's a good question. I don't want to deal with that now. But you don't have to purchase it. I don't think it's still sold in Judaica stores. You can make it yourself. But this year we're not doing that. We're not doing that this year. Okay, so you'll ask me next year, right? I'll take questions at the end. I just want to get through some of these sources together with you. So that's how the Shulchan Aruch formulates it. That even that last meal, which is normally a mournful meal, let's call it, you can eat meat and drink wine to your heart's content. Now, it sounds like, from these sources, that mourning is inappropriate on this Shabbat, because after all, it's Shabbat, and we have a mitzvah to delight in the Shabbat, as we saw a number of weeks ago. This mitzvah of Oneg Shabbat, which, as we saw in the Rambam, in the 30th chapter of Hilchot Shabbat, the very end, the Rambam talks about how this mitzvah of delighting in the Sabbath is observed by eating and drinking and, you know, drinking the finest wines and eating the finest meats. You know, a person should spend as much as he can afford. He doesn't have to go into the poorhouse, as we saw, but, you know, a person should do his best in order to be able to enjoy the Shabbat appropriately. And it sounds from these sources that mitzvah applies to this Shabbat as well. However, we'll see in a moment, there are some customs of mourning that maybe are observed, even on this Shabbat. Okay, so take a look at source number 4. This is the Hagot Maimoniot on the Rambam that we saw. And he cites the Or Zarua, who records the custom of abstaining from marital relations on this Shabbat. Now, as we saw in the Rambam, in Hilchot Shabbat, part of the mitzvah of oneg, of delighting in the Sabbath, is that special intimacy, that special bond between husband and wife. We saw that oneg Shabbat is something that's actually expressed in a very physical way, and we talked about why that is. But this Shabbat, since it is technically Tisha B'Av, it is the 9th of Av, and we can't escape from that, the Or Zarua records the custom that private customs of mourning, avilut bitzina'ah, or dvarim shebitzina'ah, are observed. Just as you know that an avel, an individual who has lost one of his close relatives during the week of Shiv'ah, while on Shabbat is prohibited from public displays of mourning, observes this private custom of mourning, observes dvarim shebitzina'ah, observes avilut bitzina'ah, and a mourner does not engage in marital intimacy with his or her spouse on the Shabbat during the week of Shiva. So on Tisha B'Av, right? Even in a regular year, for instance. Right? Now, I'm talking about a regular year. On Tisha B'Av, one of the customs of mourning observed is that marital intimacy is not observed. We refrain from marital intimacy on Tisha B'Av. Why? Because on Tisha B'Av, each and every one of us are mourners. We're mourning for the destruction of the Holy Temple, mourning for the destruction of Jerusalem, and other calamities throughout Jewish history. So on Tisha B'Av, each and every one of us is a mourner. So therefore, even though it's Shabbat, and on Shabbat, we can't mourn publicly, but on Shabbat, a mourner observes private customs of mourning. A mourner during the week of Shiva abstains from marital relations. So take a look here at source number 4. Now he's commenting on the Rambam. The Rambam says that a person doesn't have to refrain from anything. However, he writes, Aval tashmish hamita katav harav Yitzchak Mivina. However, marital intimacy, writes the Or Zarua, Yitzchak of Vienna, Da'asur b'shabbat shechal bo tisha b'av v'nidche ad lemacharato. It's prohibited on a Tisha B'Av that falls out on Shabbat and is pushed off to Sunday. Right? Again, that is our case this year. Why? Midei dehava avel d'amar dvarim shebitzina noheg. Because he is, as we explained, like a mourner. And by a mourner during the week of Shiva, marital relations are prohibited. And even on Shabbat, where public displays of mourning are not observed, private mourning is observed. Husband and wife are not together during the week of Shiva. Okay? And then he continues and says, but his Rebbe, the Maram Mirotenberg, did not like that custom. He didn't agree. Okay? However, this custom is brought down by the Maharil and the Ramah. And this is Minhag Yisrael. This is Minhag Yisrael. Unless it's Leil Tevilah, unless a woman is going to the mikvah, it's a special mitzvah for husband and wife to be together upon her return. So unless a woman is going to the mikvah this Friday night, we observe this custom. However, it's not so simple. There are many Rishonim that don't agree. The Rosh, the Ramban, Rabbeinu Yerucham, the Meirian. We'll look now at a tshuva of the Rashba here in source number 6. The Rashba disagrees with the Or Zarua. The Rashba believes that no. Since Tisha B'Av is pushed off, that means we do not observe any customs of mourning, even private customs of mourning, even Dvarim Shebitzina'ah, even Avelut Bitzina'ah. And the Rashba here in Chelek Aleph, Siman Tav Kuf Chet, Tav Kuf Chaf, excuse me, it's source number 6. The Rashba, in a very short tshuva, but a very important tshuva, where, as we'll see, he really lays the foundation of this machloket. He writes as follows, a very short tshuva. As I've mentioned before here, you see the Rishonim, the way their tshuvot were so katsar v'la'inyan, so short and sweet and to the point. You know, today, you have tshuvot that are so long, pages long, and they don't say a thing. In 3-4 lines, the Rashba says it all. Today we have other problems, that the tshuvot are not tshuvot, the shelot are not shelot, and the tshuvot are not tshuvot. Once upon a time, rabbis looked for solutions to problems. Today rabbis look for problems to solve. So take a look at the Rashba here, in source number 6. Umasha sha'alta, b'tisha b'av shechaliot b'shabbat, ma'u b'tashmish hamita. What you asked, when you have Tisha B'Av that falls out on Shabbat, as it does this year, and it's pushed off to Sunday, what about marital intimacy on Shabbat? Right? Which we've mentioned is part of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbat, delighting in the Sabbath in a physical way, expressing the joy of Shabbat in a very physical way. And there's a special idea of husband and wife to be together, even Kabbalistically, even mystically. There's all these special things that happen in the celestial realm when husband and wife are together on Shabbat. I don't know what that means. You'll have to excuse me. I'm not old enough to study Kabbalah. I'm not smart enough to study Kabbalah. And I don't know enough Torah to study Kabbalah. So you'll have to excuse me. Hanisterot laHashem Elokeinu v'haniglot lanu u'levaneinu. But that is this special mitzvah, but we saw that according to the Or Zarua, since a mourner in general is prohibited, even on Shabbat, from private mourning, from having relations, on this Shabbat, since it technically is Tisha B'Av, and on Tisha B'Av we're all considered mourners, so the custom is to refrain from marital intimacy. So the Rashba is asked about this very question. And he writes the following, do we say that each and every one of us is like a mourner, and therefore this private sign of mourning is still applicable, is still observed? So the Rashba writes the following, nire li, it appears to me, she'en noheg bo shum avelut. Okay. It appears to me, and this is his approach, and this is one approach, that since it is Shabbat, we do not observe any custom of mourning, even private mourning. Dehan rinan, ma'ale al shulchano, kisu dat shlomo bishato, de avelut, yishana shane. Okay. He says two important things here. He says, number one, the Gemara and the Tosefta, as we saw in the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, says that on this Shabbat, a person can feast like King Solomon during his reign. He doesn't have to withhold from himself anything. Some of the Rishonim point out that the Tosefta says, "Ein monea me'atzmo klum." He doesn't have to withhold anything from himself. Not just food. It would seem that the Tosefta implies he doesn't have to withhold anything. Not just food, but anything, even marital relations, even private mourning. Everything is permissible because it is Shabbat. And he says that Avelut Yishana is different. In other words, don't bring me a raya, don't bring me a proof from an Avel who just lost one of his close relatives and during the week of Shiva, even on Shabbat, abstains from marital intimacy, abstains from Dvarim Shebetzina. Don't bring a raya because that is Avelut Chadasha. That is new avelut. And the halachot are different. This is avelut yishana. This is old avelut. This is avelut that was instituted by the rabbis for the Churban and has different laws and restrictions. So don't tell me, you know, don't make a hekesh or a gzeirah shava from avelut to avelut, right? Well, it's avelut, so everything should apply because as we know, we don't do everything during the 3 weeks, or 9 days, or Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, or on Tisha B'Av Atzmo, we don't do everything like a mourner who is mourning for a relative. So that's the Rashba's Svara here. And again, you know, he says you see it from the Gemara. As I mentioned, other Rishonim point to this Braita. Everything is allowed. It's Shabbos. That was our question at the beginning. What is this Shabbat? Is it Shabbat, and therefore we have to observe it just like an ordinary Shabbat? Or is it Tisha B'Av, because technically it's still the ninth of Av, and we can't escape from that. That is the fundamental question. And then he says something very important. He says, V'kol shekein dilegamre ikruha mi tshi'i v'okmuha u'meikara haya ra'ui lekovo ba'asiri kide'ita hatam. He says something very important, very fundamental, that really speaks to this very machloket, if we do indeed observe some customs of mourning this Shabbat or not. He says it's as if the rabbis uprooted Tisha B'Av this year, when it falls out on Shabbat, and they got rid of it. They were mivatel, or they hem bitlu, they nullified Tisha B'Av this year, and in its stead, they instituted the 10th of Av as our national day of mourning. And this, as many Achronim point out, is the Nukudat HaMachloket. This is the theory behind the dispute. This is the Svara. This is the Lomdus, if you will. Do we say that what? That Tisha B'Av this year, the 9th of Av this year, since it falls out on Shabbat, is batel u'mivutal, it's nullified, legamri, it's been uprooted, and in its stead, right, we have the 10th of Av, which would mean, by extension, that on this Shabbat, you don't have any customs of mourning. Or do we say no? The other tzad says that Tisha B'Av has not been uprooted. The ninth of Av still stays in its place on Shabbat. However, it's some sort of hashlama or tashlumin. It's like a makeup. For technical reasons, we can't fast and we can't mourn publicly on Shabbat. So we observe that on Sunday, right? But Shabbat is still the ninth of Av. And therefore, avelut bitzina'ah, private customs of mourning, should still be observed. Okay, that is the root. That is the shoresh ha-machloket, or the nekudah ha-machloket. This is the point of dispute, perhaps, between these two different opinions in terms of how we are to behave on Shabbat when Tisha B'Av coincides with Shabbat. Okay, I'll take questions at the end. So, that's the Rashba. We'll come back to this idea. But the Rashba lays the groundwork, and the Achronim go into depth in this Rashba, based on this Rashba, based on this Svara. Okay. Now, there's another area of halacha, or another custom of mourning that in Avel is prohibited in, and that is Talmud Torah. Right? The pasuk in Tehillim Yutet, Psalms 19, says, "Pekudei Hashem Yisharim." The statutes, the laws of Hashem are upright. They gladden the heart. The Torah is misamachat. Torah makes us happy. Studying Torah makes us happy. Right? You all look so happy on this early Wednesday morning at the OU Israel Center. Those of you who are awake. The Torah gladdens the heart, and therefore a mourner is prohibited in the study of Torah. But what about on Shabbat? Well, we said on Shabbat, a mourner observes private customs of mourning. What about Talmud Torah? That's sort of private, kind of private. So there's a much discussion and debate amongst the poskim. What if he regularly goes over the weekly Torah portion, Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum, etc., etc.? I don't want to get into that now. But you know that on Tisha B'Av, when each and every one of us are mourners, we also don't engage in the study of Torah, or at least in the happy portions of Torah. Right? There are certain areas of Torah that the mourner is allowed to engage in. And similarly, on Tisha B'Av, there are areas of Torah that we are allowed to engage in. The sad parts of the Torah, the prophecies of destruction, in Yirmiyahu and Yishayahu. You can look at the descriptions of the Churban in Masechet Gittin, for example. You can study Sefer Iyov, which discusses suffering, right, in the human condition. Theodicy, why the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper. You can look at the keynote, you can look at Eicha. There are a number of things that are permitted to be studied. Well, what about on Shabbat, this Shabbat? Right? As I said, there's a whole discussion whether a mourner for one of his relatives can study Torah on the Shabbat during the week of Shiva. What about on Shabbat, Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, right? When Shabbat coincides with Tisha B'Av, or Tisha B'Av Shechal B'Shabbat, do we say that you can study Torah, or maybe a person should only study the things that are permissible on Tisha B'Av? After all, it is the ninth of Av, technically, even though the fast is observed on Sunday, Saturday night, Sunday. So that's the Shiloh, that's the question. And there is a custom, right, that develops where people were not learning the regular or the happy, right, portions of Torah during, let's say, the latter half of the day, after Chatzot or at Mincha time, when Tisha B'Av coincided with Shabbat. And so if you take a look here, and actually bring this Medrash here in source number 9, Medrash discusses that Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yossi, Hayu Yoshvim Ve'oskim B'Megilat Kinot, Erev Tisha B'Av, Shechal Liot B'Shabbat, Im Chashecha, Min HaMincha, U'Lema'ala. That Rabbi and Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi, they were sitting and they were engaged in Megilat Kinot. That's a reference to what? To Eicha. That's a reference to Eicha. They were studying Megilat Eicha when? On Shabbat afternoon, when Tisha B'Av coincides with Shabbat. Okay? And they were doing this
towards the end of the day, the Midrash says. We're in source number one, the Vayikra Rabbah, the Parshat Tazria. Source number nine. So they were involved in the study of Megillat Eicha, Im Chashecha, towards the end of the day, Mincha, Mincha Vilamala, after Mincha. Does it mean after Mincha Ktana, after Mincha Gdola, after Chatzot? So they developed this custom not to learn regular portions of Torah, the type of things that would be prohibited to a mourner during the week of Shiva, on Shabbat afternoon when Shabbat coincides with Tisha B'Av, like it does this year. And the Ramah here in source number 10 brings this down, where I've underlined. He says, V'nahagu shelo lilmod be'erev Tisha B'Av mechatzot ve'elach. He has it, not like the Medrash, but already from chatzot, already from midday, from noon. Ki'im b'dvarim hamutarim b'tisha b'av. You can only learn things that are related to Tisha B'Av. Or as we mentioned, the portions of Torah that are permissible for one to study on Tisha B'Av, as we explained. V'lachein, therefore, imchal b'shabbat enomrim pirkei avot. Okay, so he writes, the custom is not to say pirkei avot. There's a whole question, well, what about someone who, you know, is mavir sedra, they go over the parsha in the afternoon. Okay. So the Taz here in source number 11 does not like this custom. Taz does not like this custom. He writes, there's a lot to ask on this, a lot that's puzzling about this. Right? He says, if you're allowed to eat meat and drink wine, as the Braita we saw, the Braita that we began with, says, like, Sudat Shlomo b'shato, you can have a feast fit for a king, like King Solomon during his reign. You can eat and drink. So why should you be prohibited in studying Torah? Again, it comes to this fundamental question. Is this Shabbat legamre? Is it Shabbat and we've completely uprooted the fast and pushed it off? Okay, and it says, if the 9th of Av this year is batel u'mivutal, and in its stead we have the 10th of Av, or do we say no? We can't escape the fact that it's still technically the 9th of Av, and certain customs of mourning should apply. But for technical reasons, we have to observe the fast and the day of mourning on Sunday, because fasting and public displays of mourning are prohibited on Shabbat. Again, it comes down to this very question. So the Taz is of the opinion, like the Tshuva, the Rashba, which we saw, that no, you don't mourn on this day. You can eat and drink and be merry. Have a feast fit for a king. The Tosefta says, ein monea me'atzmo klum. You don't have to withhold anything from yourself. Okay? And he continues, and you know, he says, he makes a few other points. Just for the sake of time, I will summarize. He says, you know, we also take out the Torah at Mincha, and we read from Parashat Va'etchanan, the upcoming week's parasha, the next week's parasha. So that is like Talmud Torah. And he says, even on Tisha B'Av Atzmaut, even Shabbat itself, he writes that, you know, you say Korbanot and you say Mishnayot, certain things you say in the morning. Now, the truth is that argument is not as strong as his first argument, because you could say that, okay, our rabbis instituted the public reading of the Torah at Minchan Shabbat, and we're not engaged in the study of Torah, but we're rather engaged in the public transmission of Torah, let's say. And on Tisha B'Av, when one is reading Korbanot and Mishnayot, etc., he's not engaged in the study of Torah, per se, but he's engaged in tefillah. Right? That has a shem tefillah, or that's being said, b'torat tefillah. Okay, so I don't want to get lost in it, but he makes that compelling argument. We read the Torah at Mincha after all, okay? But nevertheless, you can argue against that. You can debate that point. And then he says, he mentions the Maharshal, that the Maharshal, it's interesting, there were those who had the custom already late in the day on the 8th of Av. In a regular year, when Tisha B'Av, let's say, would fall out on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there were those who had the custom already to refrain from Torah study on Erev Tisha B'Av, even on a weekday. And he says, but the Maharshal didn't like that, right? The Maharshal, he himself learned, and he allowed others to learn. And so he says, Kal v'chomer, right? Kal v'chomer, the Taz says, when it falls out on Shabbat. Right? And we're not supposed to engage in Torah study. However, as we mentioned, the other side of the coin is the other argument is that on Tisha B'Av, each and every one of us are mourners. And there's a whole question as to what an Avel during the week of Shiva is permitted to study on Shabbat. Okay, but that's the custom as it has developed. The Taz is very much against that custom. And the Mishnah Berurah cites the Taz here in source number 12. And the Mishnah Berurah says basically, okay, you know, there are two different minhagim, nechleku aposkim, zmachloket. And he says that, yeah, dinira, it appears that dinira deyeshli smoch alzeh. This, you know, if you do feel compelled to study the happy portions of Torah, the regular portions of Torah, yesh al mili smoch, there is whom to rely on. Okay, so again, they're different customs, each according to his custom. And again, you know, for those who want to study the regular portions of the Torah, there's a whole question if a person has a weekly shiur. What if there's a shiur? You know, that's after mincha every single week that a person goes to. Should they cancel the shiur this week? It's a question, right? Well, certainly you can rely on the Taz, the Mishnah Berurah says, and other poskim that allow studying regular, happy portions of the Torah. Or you know, the simple compromise would be just to study something that is related to Tisha B'Av, which you know, would certainly be appropriate. In any case, different mean hagim yesh al mi lismoch. There is whom to rely on. So those are the two areas that are most discussed and debated about. Okay, marital intimacy this Shabbat and studying Torah this Shabbat. There's also another interesting halacha that's lesser known, and this even has some practical implications, halacha lema'aseh. What about if there's a brit that falls out on Tisha B'Av that is pushed off to Sunday and is on the 10th of Av, as it is this year? What if there's a brit milah? Okay. So there's an interesting custom that developed that's recorded by the Or Zarua and others that the balei brit, the father of the child, the mohel, and the sandek don't have to fast the entire Tisha B'Av. They don't have to continue with their fast. The custom was to have the brit late in the day after mincha, and then they could eat a festive meal. And that is actually, it's based on a tosefta in the third parak of Masechet Ta'anit and the Gemara in Ta'anit Yudbet, Daf Yudbet, which discusses completing the fast. And it's interesting, it says there that it's related that Rabbi Eliezer ben Sadok, he says that his mishmar, he was part of a mishmar of Kohanim, that served in the Mikdash on the 10th of Av, and they, every year, they would not complete their fast. They would start the fast, but they would not complete. They would have a special sudat mitzvah, like a brit, right? Why? What's the backstory? So after the Churban Bayit Rishon, when the Jewish people came up from Bavel, there was a shortage of the wood for the ma'arechet, for the pyre on the Mizbeach, and nine different families contributed, one of which was the Mishmar that Rabbi Eliezer ben Sadok belonged to. And so they got the special schut that every year on the 10th of Av, right, so they would have a special day to bring the wood, to provide the wood every year on that day, and they would serve in the Mikdash, and they would have their own special holiday. Actually, the Mishnah in Masechet Ta'anit says, Anshei Mishmar mit'anin velo mashlimin. The Gemara there on Daf Yud Bet is discussing, you know, what that exactly means. That when you serve in the Mikdash as a Kohen, your Mishmar fasts, but you don't complete the fast. Right? One who brings a korban in the Mikdash, it's as if it's a Yom Tov for him. So there, the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Sadok says, on the 10th of Av, it was a happy day for us. It was a Yom Tov Shalanuhu. So what about in a year like this? Right? What would they do if Tisha B'Av was delayed, pushed off to Sunday, pushed off to the 10th of Av, when it was their festival? So they said, Eliezer ben Sadok says, we would not fast, we would not complete the fast. Okay, based on this Mishnah, what does it mean? That they fasted and they would not complete the fast? We said, oh, that was like us. Why? Because it was a Yom Tov Shalanuhu. Now, based on this Tosefta and Mara, you find a description in the Or Zarua, how there were those who would make a brit after Mincha on Tisha B'Av, when Tisha B'Av fell out on the 10th of Av, when it was delayed, when it fell out on Shabbat like it does this year and it was delayed, and they would break their fast. Now, this is subject to much rich discussion and debate in the poskim. Major machloket, whether we even rule like this, whether we apply this at all, whether it just applies to the three other fasts, the four fasts that are more minor than Tisha B'Av, or whether, according to the Gaon, it never applies. It's a big machloket. And the Aruch HaShulchan, the Baal Aruch HaShulchan, says we do not follow this halacha nowadays, even though it is cited here in source number 7 by the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, in the Laws of Fasts, in discussing Tisha B'Av, in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Tet, writes that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbat and is pushed off to Sunday, he writes, Baal Brit Mitpalel Mincha Be'od Hayom Gadol. The Baalei Brit Daven Mincha early, meaning Mincha Gdola, Virochetz, and they can wash themselves, which is also something that's prohibited on Tisha B'Av, except that this year, it's not really Tisha B'Av, right? It's the 10th of Av. It's pushed off, so maybe we can be lenient. And he continues, Ve'eno mashlim ta'anito lefi sheyom tov shelohu. He doesn't complete the fast, meaning he can break his fast midday because it's his yom tov. For the Baalei Brit, it's their yom tov. Again, the Baal Aruch HaShulchan writes, we don't paskin like this halacha l'maaseh. But this does have some implications, and I put the Biur Halacha here in source number 8. Based on this, he cites Rabbi Akiva Eger, who rules, you know, if we say that since Tisha B'Av is pushed off to Sunday and we can be more lenient, okay, so maybe we can be more lenient with someone that is ill, but not completely ill. You know, there's a cholesh ein bo sakana, someone who's not in danger. There's a cholesh sheyesh bo sakana, who of course can eat on Tisha B'Av, but even someone whose life is not in danger is permitted to eat on Tisha B'Av. It's only a rabbinic fast, right? He doesn't even have to eat shirim, according to most poskim. He could just, you know, eat. We don't allow him to eat to his heart's content, right? And this year, since it falls out on Motzei Shabbat Sunday, he would have to make Havdalah first, okay, on a kos, and maybe give it to a child to drink, or if there's no child, he himself can drink it. But in any case, we allow someone who's, however, since this year, Tisha B'Av is pushed off, and we find that, there's this custom that developed where in certain communities, people making a brit would have a meal. So, okay, we can be lenient with even someone who's not so sick. V'chein b'cholei k'tzat, cholei k'tzat, someone's just a little sick. Right? He's not feeling well, he's got a serious headache. Now, each and every one of us will probably have a headache on Tisha B'Av, of course, right? That's just par for the course. That's part of fasting. But if a person really doesn't feel well, they don't even have to get into the classification of a chola. They can eat because we are lenient when Tisha B'Av is observed on the 10th of Av. Ume'uberet, and someone who's pregnant, a pregnant woman, sheyesh michush k'tzad, even if she's a little uncomfortable, mutarim le'echol. Okay, and we can add to that, as the poskim do, even a woman that's nursing. So we're leaning, especially this year, with pregnant and nursing women. That's the Rabbi Akiva Eger, based on this custom that was observed in some communities where people would actually have a brit on a Tisha B'Av that had been delayed and would actually eat. They would have a sudat mitzvah. Okay, fascinating. Now again, this comes back to that fundamental question. When Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbat and is pushed off to Sunday, do we say that this year Tisha B'Av no longer exists and we have instead the 10th of Av with a unique set of halachot, perhaps, and takanot? Or do we say no, Tisha B'Av exists, except that since it's Shabbat, we cannot observe public customs of mourning? And that fundamental question is asked by the Ktav Sofer. Ktav Sofer was the eldest son and the successor of the Chatam Sofer, Rabbi Moshe Sofer, who was the Rav in Rosh Yeshiva in Presburg, which today is Bratislava in Slovakia today. The Ktav Sofer was his eldest son, as I mentioned, and his successor as Rav in Rosh Yeshiva in Presburg. And the Ktav Sofer has a tshuva where he relates to this fundamental question, this underlying question. How do we view Tisha B'Av when it falls out on Shabbat? Do we say that it is uprooted completely? It's batel u'mivutal, and instead we have the 10th of Av? Okay? And therefore, on Shabbat, one can learn Torah, and marital intimacy should not be prohibited, as we saw in the Rashba. Right? Or do we say, no, we can't escape from the fact that it still is Tisha B'Av, right? And so private customs of mourning and certain displays of mourning might be appropriate, but because we're not allowed to mourn publicly and we're not allowed to fast, so we move it off to Sunday as a makeup, as some sort of hashlamah. But nevertheless, right, it's still Tisha B'Av. That's the fundamental question. And he actually points to the Gemara at the end of Masechet Ta'anit here in source number 13. Now the Gemara there is discussing how do we know that the first temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av. Gemara brings Pesukim. Gemara asks, well, how do we know about the second temple? And that question is easy for the Gemara. The Gemara says, well, it could not have happened on any other day. That is a day that is been divinely ordained, so to speak, assigned as this day of mourning and tragedy for all of Jewish history. It's born under a bad sign, if you will. Okay, Huchpelu Botsarot, right? Megalgalin Yom Chayav. So Megalgalin Choval Yom Chayav, the Gemara there says. Huchpelu Botsarot. The Gemara says that it's a day where many tragic events have took place, so it could not have happened on any other day. But what about the first temple? So the Gemara here in source number 13 on Daf Chavtet brings different Pesukim to say what happened on the 7th and 8th, okay, and what happened on the 9th. And so the Gemara says that it was on the 9th of Av when they actually lit the temple on fire. That's when they took out the fire, the Gemara says, but it was close to the end of the day. Right? Actually, it was close to the end of the day. Uchiyi, the Gemara says, Samuch l'chashecha. I'm reading from the end of the second line here. And the 9th, close to nightfall, Hitzitu bo et ha'ur. That's when they took out the fire. V'hayad dolek v'holech kol hayom kulo. And it burned the entire next day, meaning the entire 10th of Av. Shenemar, and it brings a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, 6th chapter there, Oilanu kifana hayom. Right? Woe is to us that the day is waning, which implies for the Gemara that it was actually as the day was waning. Right? So wait a minute. It sounds like the temple was really destroyed on what day? On the 10th. Exactly. So why don't we observe our national day of mourning on the 10th? And in fact, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ilmali Haiti be'oto hador. If I lived during that generation where the rabbis proclaimed the 9th of Av as a day of national mourning, lo kivativ ela ba'asiri. I would have indeed established our national day of mourning and fasting and tragedy on the 10th, because that's when the temple was burned. However, the Gemara defends the rabbis. Urabanan, according to the rabbis, atchalta depuranuta adifa. The rabbis chose to mark the beginning of the end, so to speak. And the Yerushalmi here in source number 14 says that Rabbi Yirmiya, the son of, in the name of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, it should be probably Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, he would indeed fast on the 10th. He fasted on the 10th. And the Yerushalmi also lists a number of other sages, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Abun, that fasted on both the 9th and the 10th. So for those who have a difficult time fasting one day, there were those who fasted both the 9th and 10th because the majority of the temple was actually destroyed on the 10th. That's what the Gemara says. Fascinating. And that's why, by the way, we observe on the 10th of Av, usually some of the customs of mourning that are observed in the 3 weeks, the 9 days, are observed until Chatzot, until midday on the 10th. Except this year, when the 9th falls out on Shabbat and the fast is pushed off to the 10th, so some of the customs are different. So, for example, the custom is that one can eat meat and drink wine already the morning of the 10th. Technically, maybe even after the fast, it's not nice to go right from, the Rama says, from fasting to feasting with meat and wine. So the custom is to wait until the morning so you can have a steak for breakfast on Sunday. Mitzvah Shem. Mitzvah Shem, we'll all be eating meat on Sunday because it will be a holiday. We'll have the Beit HaMikdash. But I'm sorry, you can eat meat already and drink wine Monday morning. You don't have to wait until Chatzot. Haircuts and shaving and laundry, for instance, can already be done on Sunday night, right when Tisha B'Av is over. Normally, we wait until Chatzot of the next day, right? But since it's delayed, so we have different customs of mourning, as we mentioned. Okay, so based on this passage that we just saw, the Ketav Sofer says, oh, you see how according to Rabbi Yochanan, the 10th is a valid day to observe Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Yochanan says, had I lived during that generation, I would have proclaimed our national day of mourning to be observed on the 10th, because that's when the majority of the temple was burned, was destroyed. So you see that the 10th actually is a valid day. So based on this, the Ketav Sofer says, oh, you see that really, when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbat, like it does this year, and is pushed off to Sunday, it's as if the rabbis, they uprooted the 9th of Av this year, Legamre. They got rid of it. It's Batel Umivutal, right? And in its stead, they instituted the 10th of Av as a national day of mourning. And he brings this Gemara to say, you see, that's valid. It's valid to observe the 10th of Av as a national day of mourning. And again, this comes back to this fundamental machloket. How do we view this Shabbat? Is it Shabbat Legamre? Is it as if Tisha B'Av has been completely uprooted, completely nullified, and we don't observe any customs of mourning? Or do we say no? For technical reasons, we can't fast on Shabbat, and we can't observe public signs of mourning, can't display public signs of mourning on Shabbat. Right? So right, we push it off to Sunday, but we can't escape the fact that Shabbat is still technically the 9th of Av, and therefore, as we saw, some of the customs of mourning, private signs of mourning, marital intimacy, okay, we mentioned Talmud Torah as well, are still observed on this Shabbat because it still is Tisha B'Av. So that is the root of this machloket. That's the nikudat machloket. That's the svara, or the theory behind it. Do we say that it's completely Shabbat and we have to celebrate, right? Or do we say that no, we can't escape the fact that it is technically the 9th of Av, even though it's Shabbat, and even a mourner, right, during the week of Shiva observes certain private customs of mourning. That is the machloket. What we find, and I'll end with this, is that this year we will be eating and drinking on the 9th of Av. We will be feasting instead of fasting. In the language of the Gemara, we will be feasting like King Solomon during his reign and not abstaining from anything, according to the Tosefta. Right? And in a sense, we get a little taste of what redemption will be like. When we won't be fasting on the 9th of Av, we'll be instead feasting on the 9th of Av. We'll get a little taste of the prophecy of Zechariah. May we see it fulfilled in our days. When he writes in the 8th chapter there, that these four fasts will be lebeit Yehuda, for the house of Judah. Yehuda l'sason l'simcha ulamadim tovim. They will be for the house of Judah, for the Jewish people, as days of gladness and joy, happy days observed as festivals.